evening, everyone. This is Gordon, WT2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. The Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net is run on the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club repeater in Alpine, New Jersey, on a frequency of 146.955 with a minus 600 split and a tone of 141.3 every Thursday night at 9 p.m. This net is a discussion, a conversation among amateur radio operators interested in having a discussion about amateur radio, electronics, electricity, telecommunications, and anything that uses those things. Sorry about that, guys. Had a little bit. I'm up at scout camp right now, and it seems that 9 o'clock comes, and all of a sudden, all the crises emerge. So anyway, we're all good. So we're going to have a conversation tonight about the subjects that interest you. The subjects are suggested by you either as a question or a comment. And that question or comment is very important. In fact, it's even okay to check in, even if you don't have a question or comment, because we might want to ask you your opinion. So please consider logging in no matter what, with your question or with or without a question or comment. So, the way we log into this net is with our call sign, our name, and then we indicate whether we have a question, a comment, both, or none of the above. And that's a pretty straightforward way of doing things. So, the way we'll do this is we'll start with the November stations tonight, because we haven't done that in a while. Start with the November stations and see how that goes. Stations with November in their call sign, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and indicate whether you have a question, comment, both, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR.
This is.
N2OEL, what question?
Hey, Noel, I got you. What is your pleasure, sir?
It's going to be about the alignment of Yagi elements. I'm going to call the rest of the net before we ask the question.
Hear that? I gotcha. That's absolutely fine. That sounds like a great thing to do. We certainly can do that. Although I just realized I booted the wrong computer here. I need to disable the Wi-Fi on one computer to make darn sure that I don't bring up a mail file and start loading my mail to a two-year-old mail file. That would be very bad. But anyway, enough of that chitter-chatter. All right, so you will have a comment, I'm assuming, Noel, right?
Well, I'm going to describe an antenna to you, and then the question will be whether it was manufactured wrong, and that's why the price was so incredibly cheap.
Okay, we'll get to that. All right, very good. I just need to now get the rest of us all on board. I heard what I perceived to be NS2K.
Yeah, NS2K here. You don't have to hear my question. It's not going to be nice. Anyway, no, we'll go with no question or comment quite yet. Anyway, have a good evening.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Did you want to take the net? Because I had asked you to do it if I couldn't make it in, and it sounded to me like you were pretty much ready to take it. I mean, I can take it, too, whatever your pleasure.
No, it's always better when you do it.
So you say. Don't go far. I've got a flex radio question for you that I need to resolve. So I have a question. I'll let you know, and you're probably going to be one of a couple of people who could possibly answer it. All right? So don't go too far. Let's see. Any other November stations, please call K2BAR. Okie dokie. Any whiskey stations, please call K2BAR.
WYU, yes.
No questions or comments.
Okay, let's make sure I got that. I heard W1AU, Bill, with
no question or comment. And then I heard Don with no question or comment, W2JDK. Did I get that right? And you don't need to respond if I got that right. Okie dokie. Very good. Any other whiskeys?
WE2R, Charlie, no questions or comments.
Good evening, Charlie. Good to hear you. Alrighty. Any other whiskeys?
W2CH, Ray, with a comment.
Good evening, Ray. I got your comment duly noted. Nice to hear you as well. Any other whiskeys? Alrighty. Was there another station in there? Alright, very good. Let's go to the Kilo 2s.
KC2NKU, no question. My name is Marilyn.
KC2NKU, good evening, Marilyn. It's been the first while in a while to check into this net, so we're particularly pleased to hear you in on the net, and we welcome you again.
Thank you. I'm the YL to W2CH, so you get two for the price of one.
Thank you, Marilyn. That's great. All right. Any other kilos?
K2BAR. That's K2ZO. Questions or just one comment?
I got you, Jim. Very good. Thank you very much. Any other kilos?
K2AMI, Tony. Comment. That's all.
All right, very good. Thank you, Tony. Good evening to you as well. Boy, a lot of comments tonight. All righty. Any other kilos? Okay, let's move on. How about any alphas? I heard something in there, but I wasn't sure what. Okay, any other call signs, any district, any prefix? This is K2BAR. Okie dokie. Alrighty. I think we're going to try to do this in some sort of what I anticipate to be short order, and then so it won't be quite in check-in order, but something along that line. So K2AMI, Tony, your question, or your comment, K2BAR.
Just short and brief, and that is this Sunday is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association monthly meeting. It's about 7:30 at the Washington Township Borough Hall in Washington Township. And of course, Gordon, I hope you do mention that the Venture Crew 7373, is that right, is going to have a ham fest on the 13th, and you might give details on that. Back to net.
Alrighty. Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Tony. Yeah, we have the Barra meeting on Sunday, this Sunday, and then a week from now, on Saturday, at St. John the Evangelist in Bergenfield in the gym, Conlon Hall, on North William Street, we have the Venture Crew 73 and Troop 139 Pancake Breakfast and Amateur Radio Flea Market. We're getting a great response. We're getting all sorts of people who are interested in this nice indoor, air-conditioned, flat-level ham fest, and it should be a lot of fun for people to come and get a breakfast, chat with their friends, and see what toys might be there. So we hope we'll see you there. So, any questions on these two subjects before we move on? Alrighty. Let's see. Our next comment is from our good friend, Mr. Noel. N2OEL, K2BAR. Go for it.
Hello.
K2VA, and it's Ed 2OEL. I recently got a Wi-Fi antenna that allegedly has 20 dB gain. We actually had Mr. K2ZO took it apart at Kidnight, and we examined it. There is no active element. It's simply a Yagi with what appears to be a gamma match made out of a little piece of tiny, tiny coax. Wow, it's not, I mean, the coax was like, oh, sewing thread maybe? It was really, really, really fine. Anyways, we looked at it, looked at it, looked at it. Really well made. I bought it, it was $6.59 shipped to my house. Really well made. And I looked at it, and I realized that it has a, oh, you know, like a plastic radar dome on one side that is holding the what would be the driven element. There's a reflector, and there's, I don't know, 8 or 10 directors. The question comes up when I start realizing where the driven element would be. And it's approximately 1/8 wavelength out of the plane of the reflectors and the directors. So I wasn't sure, and I said, let me get a little measurement here. And I started measuring. I'm assuming that the directors are approximately a quarter wavelength. And, yeah, it's if you go from the center of the director up to approximately where the driven element is, it's approximately 1/8 of a wavelength up, I guess you'd have to say. You know, it's off, out of the plane. And if you could say all the elements in a row are a plane, then we're about 1/8 of wavelength above that plane. Now, I had read sometime in the past about somebody did an experiment with a 2-meter antenna, and they deliberately started bending the elements, and they were measuring gain and directivity and stuff like that. They started, you know, they bend one element forward 10 degrees, the next one back 10 degrees, and pretty much every element up, down, sideways, whatever. And they reported it was remarkably little change in the antenna pattern when you started misaligning the elements. Now I'm wondering, did somebody put this together wrong, which is why I got it, because it makes much more sense to flip the thing over the other way and put the driven element in closer to the plane of everything else, or does it make much difference if it's 1/8 of a wavelength approximately above the plane of the other elements? Back to net. This is at 2OEL.
Yeah, okay, Noel. If you are 1/8 wavelength out of plane, that is ridiculously out of plane. Let me just say that. It's ridiculously out of plane. And that will distort the pattern. You can look at that with EasyNeck or any other modeling programs. You'll see immediately. Anybody else have any comments on this? Okay, real quick. Is my signal reasonably clean?
A little bit of noise on it, but I can hear you clearly. And to OEL.
Is it digital noise or is it just hiss?
Your signal's just a little bit weak into the repeater, like you were using an HT or something. And to OEL.
All right, I'll try to switch antennas for the next transmission. All right. Very good. Well, that's the answer you got.
Yeah, I have a comment.
Jim, go right ahead.
Yeah, I saw that antenna last night. I thought it was rather unusual that the element was displaced to the side like that, and I'd never quite seen anything like that. However, getting back to VHF antennas, I once had a beam the driven element rotated about 30 degrees out of plane with all of the other elements because I did not fasten it tight enough. And you know something? I saw absolutely no difference. And I couldn't believe it. And I took the thing and I went and I put it back where it was supposed to be and very carefully did a couple of measurements. This is going back to the old single sideband AM days. with a station with a known signal, and then purposely rotated the thing and misaligned it, and I saw absolutely no difference, and I was amazed. You know, we're talking like 30 degrees, and I had never expected that, but that's what I noted. Back to that.
Bedwell. I saw an article, and I don't remember if it was QST or online or whatever, and that's exactly what they were saying. They had rotated some elements up and down, like Jim said. I didn't think it was 30, but it was, yeah, you could see the difference. And they actually bent some forward, some backwards. And they said when they were all done with this really horrible-looking Yagi, they didn't notice much difference in performance. So I was just wondering if that was the effect that we were looking for. I could easily switch it over. It would just be two little screw holes. It's just that it's such a nice, well-made antenna for $6.59. I grew suspicious. And that's why I wanted to bring it over to your house today and show it to you or any time that you're home. KGBR in Julio.
Mr. Jim? Oh, that's why you want to come to my house. Okay. Well, except for the fact I'm in the scout camp in Cuttackville, New York. So that might prove to be difficult for me to accommodate you with a meet and greet at my house, although normally you're more than welcome. So, sorry, Mr. Noel. That was not possible today. Let's see, what else? Alright, anybody else?
K2AMI with just sort of an observation, if I may make a comment about the antenna.
Please do.
If you picture the signal being radiated off the driven element, it's not a signal that's in a plane. It's a signal in a form of a donut around the element. It goes in all directions. I very often have found that an antenna will work pretty well backwards as well as forwards, because it's got just as much sensitivity in the back and the front at the driven element point. How it gets there is depends upon the elements in front of it. So by taking the driven element and visualizing it as a long shaped donut off of the element, you'd have to be quite a bit out of concentricity with the rest of the forward elements to make a difference. So again, visualize how the elements are radiating and what's coming off the elements. And I think that kind of explains why you can vary the angle. We're not shooting a signal in a one plane along the plane of the antenna. At least the initial driven element is not shooting a flat line plane out. Does that make sense, Gordon?
Well, now that you mention it, yeah. But I say yeah, but I mean, I seem to remember having modeled this before, and the whole notion of having the driven element off plane of the reflector and the directors just seems a bit odd.
Because you've accustomed to getting things in formation in line. but think about it, I don't think it's going to matter too much. Based upon how I visualize the radiation coming off the driven element.
Well, okay. I mean, I understand what you're saying. I'm going to have to, you know, maybe go back and remodel that exact configuration and just remind myself of what it looks like, how it's shaped, etc. I'll kind of go from there. Let's see. As far as the antenna goes, apparently someone else has bought one of these things and found them to be, lacking in appropriate performance, and that they have virtually no directivity whatsoever. Noel, could you confirm that that observation?
Well, I was going to consult you on step two, which was buying a tie in a USB converter, because I noticed that there's a whole bunch of them for sale that hook into a little vertical antenna. So I was going to consult you, because the connector in this thing is a little weird. It's an SMA connector that you'd normally think of as being a male, but the inside looks like it's female. So it's, you know, the wrong sex.
Okay, well, that's just an RP connector. The SMA output is a reverse polarization, reverse polarized SMA connector, and that's entirely normal.
Well, we haven't hooked it up yet to anything. That was the next project. I got to buy something to do that. And I really... Wait till you see it. When you get home, give me a call. I'll bring it over, since I'm not doing much. I can't work on the keyboard with my right arm in a cast.
That sounds like a great idea. You know, such interesting Wi-Fi antennas are appropriate, but you know, we're going to find out if they actually work. And there's some question based on what we saw on those various distribution groups as to whether they really do. All right, shall we go on to the next fan dance here, or do you have a further question, Mr. Noel?
Nothing else. That was it. KGBR and 2OEM.
Okay, very good. W2CH, Mr. Ray, you had a comment, KGBAR.
Yes, K2BAR on the net, W2CH. Just a short thing here, Gordon. Before this net, I'm usually on the PCARA, Peekskill Cortland Amateur Radio Association, informal kind of club net for anybody. That's usually from 8 to 9. Just before this net, I'm 146-670 up in the Peekskill area. Actually, the repeater's up in Putnam. But anyway, I did bring up the Hamfest to the check-ins there, and one of them said he did have a flyer, and I just thought I'd mention that I took the information and mentioned the page. It was in an August QST on page 94 under Hamfest. So I just thought I'd mention that tonight, Gordon, that I gave out the word. K2VAR and the net, W2CH.
Okay, Ray, thank you very much. I'm much obliged. Please remind them next week. Also remind them that it's indoors, air-conditioned, and flat access. It's 22 feet from where you unload under a covered area into the sales floor. And that the dining area overlooks on the flat level the sales floor. So you have the gym, which is the sales floor, and then you have the cafeteria, which is adjacent to it and has basically a big open long wall on the side of the gym to the cafeteria where breakfast will be served. And every $5 admission gets breakfast, which is very cool. So do keep that in mind, and we'll have a great time. And thank you again.
Okay, fine, Gordon. Yes, I did make note of the additional details. I know you'd mentioned some last week, and I'll pass along next week. Sounds very good.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Anybody have any questions?
Gordon, a question on the timing. I don't have the flyer here, but what time do vendors arrive and what time do buyers arrive?
I believe it's 6 and either 7:30 or 8. I can't remember which, but vendors can get in at 6 and everybody else, I believe, is 8 a.m. Actually, it may be 7:30, Tony.
W2JK.
Yes, Mr. Don?
I have a flyer here. Sellers at 6 a.m., buyers at 8 a.m., kitchen opens at 7 a.m. Back to net.
Oh, God bless you. Yeah, we wanted an hour to get the coffee going. It's more important. But we'll probably have the coffee going earlier because I have this bad feeling that I'm going to be sleeping in the gym that night, but that's all another problem. Anyway, Godspeed on that one. We'll get it done. Anybody else? Thank you for confirming my my own amp pad, because I don't have the flyer handy with me at camp. Alrighty, very good. Our next question. Actually, let me just check to make sure. Ray, any more on the subject?
I'm sorry. Did you ask me if I had more?
Do you have any final comments on it?
No, I just was saying I've got the additional information, as you said, St. John the Evangelist, which I didn't see in the ad in the magazine, and just so, you know, people are not familiar with it, but it's pretty close to our area, I'm saying from the lower Hudson Valley, so as I said, I will mention that and add what you did about the floor being flat and easy access indoors and AC, so the weather's not a factor, Gordon.
Yeah, there's even a covered unloading spot in front of the building, which is pretty cool. And we'll move people along pretty quickly through that. One other thing, if you're coming down 9W, you can get off at any number of... if you're coming down the pips of 9W, you can get off at either in Alpine or below and head down either Closer Dock Road, Hillside, or Clinton to get toward Bergenfield. So all will get you there eventually. Off the pip, and if you're coming off the parkway, the Garden State Parkway, there's, you know, Ridgewood Avenue to Oregon Avenue, and then or down and around, they'll get you there too as well. Route 4 is good from New York. Route 17 is good from New York. Route 80 to 4. Route 80 to the parkway, 208 to the parkway, or 287 to 208 to the 4, that kind of thing. All that's good. All right, very good. Well, thanks again. I appreciate it. Looking forward to seeing everybody on Sunday, by the way. We're going to be home Saturday afternoon sometime. Yeah, by the time we unpack and stuff, so it'll be fun. All right. Let's see. Anybody else on this subject? Alrighty. Let's see. Our next comment is coming from our good friend K2ZO, Mr. Jim, K2BAR.
Okay, K2BAR. This is K2ZO. I didn't expect to be here tonight, but we finished up early. I was at on a telephone conference, ARRL committee meeting, so we did get finished up, so we got here. And the only comment that I had, Gordon, was that this Sunday at the meeting that Tony mentioned, I'll be giving a talk about antenna tuners. And I'm going to bring along some interesting antenna tuners, and one of them was one that I modified to make it a very efficient open wire line fed antenna tuner, from basically being an end fed coax type to allow it to feed a balanced antenna, and a couple of little tricks I did inside there. So I have an unmodified and a modified one. Both Dentrons, and I'm going to be showing them off and how we did. And of course, this thing worked very well for us on field day. And just discuss a few other comments about using antenna tuners, which I think a lot of the newer people might get something out of. But some of the older people.
Oh, yeah, that sounds interesting. And I'm sure you'll explain to us in appropriately abundant detail to why you made the mods and what you found about their effectiveness, eh? I'll assume that to be a yes.
AJ4WD Mumble.
Station?
Did I go away?
Yeah, I asked you a question and you never responded.
Okay, yeah, I lost the battery here. You didn't get any of my transmission? You asked me about what the question I had, the comment I had.
Right, I basically asked
Are you going to, you know, basically tell us what you did, how it was effective or not effective in, you know, doing things, what the constraints were, what the benefits were, et cetera?
Okay, that's basically what I wanted to see. So you got the comment about the talk on antenna tuners. And yes, I got to just demonstrate the modification that I made by isolating the antenna tuner and making it a balanced one to feed, you know, balanced line.
Okay. That sounds great. I know I'm looking forward to it. And we'll see you on Sunday. So that'll be excellent. Anybody else have any questions for Jim?
AJ4WD Mobile.
Good evening, Rachel. AJ4WD. K2BAR. Am I adding you with a question, comment, or none of the above?
A question and a comment. You just asked if there was anything for K2ZO.
We'll go right ahead then.
K2ZO, in your talk, are you going to talk about the different types of antenna tuners and one versus another and the benefits, weaknesses, strengths?
Yes, Rachel, I intend to kind of go through that, the various different styles and why some might be better in some situations, especially the number of elements that are tuned, you know, an L match versus a T match and things like that, yes.
That sounds great. And are you going to go through, you know, the rudimentary, the basics as to what to do and how to do it? Because I'm sure a lot of us, I know I need a refresher as to how to actually tune an antenna.
Yeah, one of the things that I noticed on field day was that there were a lot of people who didn't kind of get the feel for what they needed to do to adjust it to get a match. You really need to have, if you're using a radio that cuts back when you have a high SWR, you really need to have 2 meters, both a forward and reflected. Doing it with 1 meter, you could be cutting back as far as power and thinking that you were achieving a better SWR. So, yes, it can sometimes get confusing, and that's why I recommend to people that they use an SWR bridge that's got a dual meter on it so you can really see what's going on. But there are some guidelines that you need to do in order to do it. For instance, how would you set an antenna tuner when you first started off and didn't know nothing as to what the antenna is, and we'll go through all that.
That sounds great. The other question I have is, you know, you have these mechanical meters, you have the digital meters, and then you have these new LED kind of like scale meters, equivalent to what a mechanical meter might do. Are you going to go in and the benefits, detriments, and how maybe you use those different types of meters in working with the antenna tuner as well?
No, not really. I have not seen, other than some digital watt meters, anything that's easy. Working with something that's got a delay, like some kind of digital meter, can drive you crazy when you're tuning something that's got a peak. That's why it's nice to have an analog meter. I know of no manufacturer of antenna tuners now that does not include an analog tuning. They may have a digital readout of some kind, but they all have some kind of an analog indication so that you can get there. You know, it's kind of like tuning up an IF stage where you're tuning for a peak and you're trying to use a digital meter. It's much better, much easier using an analog meter.
Thank you very much. Back to K2BAR.
Alrighty. Any more on this topic from anybody else? Connected KD2AKPKC2SQP. Disconnected. Come as confusions for the net before I ask my question specifically directed to NS2K. All right, very good. Well, my question, Jim, is related to
the Flex 5000s. I get some really odd boot conditions sometimes. And now when I first boot the PowerSDR software, I get demo, I get Flex 5000 as my serial number, and I get a third option, which is Flex 5000 with a null serial number. And right now, after a few minutes, if I don't actually select anything, the use button for demo and the use button for my serial number are on, and then if a little while longer goes on, the use button for my serial number goes off, and the one for the all null serial number always comes up null. I mean, without ability to select that use button. So that's a little disturbing. If I do select on it early enough, it then tends to abort and, say the PowerSDR has requested to terminate itself, et cetera, et cetera. So what's up with that?
KD2AKP disconnected. Connected KD2AKP.
Okay, I didn't establish an echolink connection tonight. KD2AKP, did you want to say something? W2TTT. Alrighty. NS2K, K2BAR.
Ooh, NS2K. Oh, my goodness. Well, I didn't really have a comment. I have some discussion that probably should take place offline. But anyway, how are you making out with your Flex deal?
Well, that was my question. Everything was fine until today, where I now started to get errors when I try to boot. It doesn't recognize the machine itself, and I'm not sure why. At one point, wait a minute, maybe it's because the connector is not all the way in. Yeah, I've got one of these, multi-bus type connectors, and I'm willing to bet that that sometimes the FireWire interface just doesn't quite latch in. But I did notice that when I get that selector panel of demo and then Flex 5000 with your serial number, I get a third option now, which is Flex 5000 with a null serial number. It never lets me click on the use button for that one, but it's very disturbing.
Yeah, it sounds almost like it's been run without the radio. Anyway, there are a couple of tools where you can check the delay and so on to the radio without invoking the actual application itself. But if none of those can see the radio, then I'd say that you have a connection issue.
Well, now,
try again, Gordon.
Sorry about that. I found a new and creative way to overdraw my welcome. I was transmitting on a 50-watt FM rig and a 100-watt other rig and popped the fuse. Sorry about that, boys. So anyway, right now, I just managed to just flatten the whole experience. Now I've got PowerSDR running, and the radio wasn't, so because I popped the fuse as we were transmitting there. Sorry about that.
KD2AKP disconnected.
Sounds like Gordon might be disconnected too.
Pop another fuse, did he?
Yeah, but Gordon's on RF. He's not on EchoLink.
Yeah, that was a different person out, but that's interesting. NS2K. fuses, or is it on a power distribution strip, perhaps?
Okay, guys, I'm back. W2TTT.
Wow.
Are you hearing me okay?
Yep.
Yeah, it all started with I was keyed up on 2 meters, and on the same power supply, I keyed up on HF, and I think I might have toasted my boost regulator. I just realized that's the problem. Alright, so I'm sorry about that. So, the nature of the problem is that when I power up power SDR, it just doesn't seem to want to let me transmit very well, and I'm not sure why. In fact, it seems like there's some sort of driver issue, either with the firewire interface or with some other thing that's making Power SDR unhappy. I'm just wondering if you've had operating system problems with Power SDR. Over.
NS2K. Oh yeah. Actually, it was primarily drivers. Had to be the latest and greatest. In most cases, for me, there was a driver that was specific to that particular model that corrected one of the underlying problems. The other problem that I had was related to various other services that were causing undue delays and delayed transactions, whatever it was. Or the DTPs, or my brain is slipping here, but hopefully, Gordon, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, regrettably I do. You know, it was really funny. It was not giving me any trouble earlier in the week. It's like every day is a new adventure with this radio. I power it up with the same configuration, and it behaves differently. Virtually every day I hook it up differently. If I leave it hooked up, it's okay, but if I don't, boy, it kicks my butt. Over.
As much as I hate to say it, it is something of a science project.
Yeah. Now you know why I got one from who I got it.
No, but I think once you figure it all out, it will be it'll be pretty solid. Anyway, it strikes me that I think you probably have enough computer savvy as well as radio savvy. You'll be able to get all your virtual everything's talking to each other.
Yep, I think you're right. I think you're right. All right, Jim. Well, thank you very much for that. It's a slick toy, though. I will say that. Anybody have any questions about the Plex 5000 or any other SDR topic? Alrighty. Anybody have any questions, comments, confusions they want to add to the mix this time?
Can I make one other comment about the Barrack lug?
Well, it is Barrack Ned. What the heck?
Nobody has mentioned that the Barra picnic is coming up on August the 14th. That's a Saturday, August the 14th, and isn't too far away. That's the, it's a Sunday, I guess, August 14th. Yeah. The 13th is the flea market, and the 14th is the Barra picnic, and it'll be up in Woodcliff Lake at Wooddale Park. As it was in the last couple of years. So don't forget to go to the Barra picnic. Now, this coming Sunday, you are to sign up at a sign-up sheet. at the for the Barra picnic if you can possibly do that, or at least advise Heidi if you're coming or not. And there will also be sign-up sheets for things like the VHF contest, which is coming up in September. I think it's the weekend after the... oh, my gosh, might it be that weekend, huh? Anyway, well, I think the 12th and 13th is the VHF contest. And that we hope to perform up at the Nike site in Orangetown. And wonder of wonders, if you guys would like to work your neighboring town or maybe even to another county, there's a UHF contest for the VHF. The ARRL UHF contest is up and coming weekend. I'll be operating for a little bit on 220 megahertz and on 440 megahertz, 432 probably. That's coming weekend from 2 o'clock Saturday to 2 o'clock Sunday. So you have some 432 rigs you want to work out, look for stations on those bands this coming weekend. So the UHF contest this weekend, Gordon's Hamfest, I'll call Gordon's, but it's Adventure Crew 7073 on the 13th, and the Barra Picnic on the 14th. Just important dates.
Alrighty. Well, thank you, Tony. And I know I'm looking forward to all those things. In fact, next weekend this weekend we have the Barra meeting. This weekend coming, we also have, as you said, the UHF contest, which I can't do. I mean, as long as I'm doing this, there's no way I'm doing the UHF contest, which is kind of a shame because I really enjoyed doing that for years. And then, of course, there's the ever-popular, Barra picnic, and in between the first one is the 1070, first one is the, on the 13th, we have the 7373 flea market, or Hamfest, and then the week after that, on Saturday, we have the Arapahoe Mountain Hamfest at Camp Aratans at the face William Patterson. I'm just being reminded that Newberg's Hamfest was last week, I think, and a few weeks ago was Oakark's, Orange County's, and then the weeks before that we had Sussex, which I think we all enjoyed. And then we have the Barra picnic on the Sunday the 14th, the same day as the Round Pole Rally. So it's a crazy day and weekend. It used to be that the summer was kind of quiet for ham radio, and I don't know, Barra's found a new and interesting way in its members to be involved in so many things that every weekend's a party of one form or another. So anyway, anybody else have any comments? All right, very good. I'm going to stay on frequency after the net and work from a new call sign here. We opened up with a new vanity call for Camp Terrell of November Yankee 2 Charlie Tango. November Yankee 2 Charlie Tango, or November Yankee 2 Camp Terrell. So if anyone wants to work that, we can add that to your list of things, and we'll find a way to either EQSL or QSL for real. If we get them, we'll have to do a card design. But just thought you'd like to know that we do have a vanity call for the Venture Crew 7373 Camp Terrell Amateur Radio Club, so kind of cool. Alrighty. If that's all we have, I'll just see one more time. Is there anything else for the net? Please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, question.
Hey, Rachel.
I am getting phone calls on my cell phone from a phone number that, if I call it back, tells me it's a phone number that is not in service. Yet caller ID identifies it as a valid number. I'm also getting some strange 5- or 6-digit numbers coming up on my caller ID, which, of course, I cannot return. Any clues or ideas as to what's going on?
Is it on your cell phone or your home phone?
is my cell phone, and I did have my cell phone listed as the NDR, Do Not Disturb, or, National, Do Not Call.
Yeah, well, that never seems to stop anybody else from calling me. The five-digit numbers are special codes. You can actually call those into your carrier if you go call their customer care. I don't know, if you have AT&T, it's 611. In general, I would report those and ask them what they are. What you may want to do for your own sanity is to log the date and time they called, especially if you didn't answer, or if they, God forbid, show up in your bill. Do make note of that and, protest it highly that I don't know what the hell this is, but A, I don't want to deduct it from my minutes, and B, I don't know what it is. In fact, you can play stupid and say, is this showing up on my minutes, and what is it, and how do I make it go away?
All right, and so I'm reporting it just to my carrier. There's nothing, or is there another method of reporting this nuisance call?
Well, your carrier will either be able to take care of the nuisance call issue themselves or tell you how you can.
All right. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's kind of odd. It seems almost like they're phishing an address or, phishing a phone number. And very annoying. I'm also getting calls where as soon as I answer it, the call drops.
Well, I get those mostly on my home phone. And that really annoys me. So much so that my wife has started filtering the calls and letting the fax machine answer if it really is that important to people.
Thank you very much. That's it for tonight. Thank you, K2BAR. This is AJ4WD.
Okay, very good, Rachel. And just keep in mind that the 10-digit numbers that come through and the 5-digit numbers that come through are two different problems, okay? Just keep that in mind. All right, anybody else for the net, please call K2BAR.
And that's 2K.
Hey, Jim.
No, I'm not getting... I haven't noticed that off particularly on the cell phone, but on the office phone, I'm seeing some interesting things periodically where I'll see what are classic clearly fake phone numbers. They don't fit any standard phone number pattern. Maybe a whole bunch of zeros or a whole bunch of some other digit or nothing in some cases and other nonsensical numbers that clearly are not phone numbers.
Yeah, I've seen the all zeros. I mean, there is a way to spoof a caller ID. Actually, there's a couple of different ways, but some are done legitimately and some are done illegitimately. So, if you have a trunk kind of thing, the game can be a little odd. Anyway, so just keep that in mind.
Yep. And of course, at home here, I've got caller ID on Cablevision that shows up on the TV set. And of course, half of the phishing or other scammy type phone numbers, phone calls, have what are clearly fake phone numbers. So I pretty much. If they don't look legit, I just don't answer, regardless of what they, whatever.
W1AU.
Probably prudent. Alrighty. I think I found my latest, bug. The flex didn't want to power off. I hit the button. Eventually it did, but boy, it gave me grief. So I'm trying something new. We're booting up the Flex first, and then booting up the computer, and then I'll boot the software. Does that make sense?
I'm trying to remember. I think the computer has to be fully up before you do the other thing. There was another station with a comment.
I'm sorry, W2TTT, go ahead.
W1AU, just a mention that when people call on Skype, often they either have a blank caller ID or all zeros.
Yeah, I have seen that.
Okay, so they are potentially legitimate even though they don't look it.
Well, I get it from my wife calling, and I think she's legitimate.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Bill, for that reminder. Anybody else? Group of questions tonight and topics. All right, everybody. Have a good one. I'm going to call it quits and see what goes on here in camp. See what I have one homesick kid. I think the boys have suitably distracted, and I think that's a good thing. And we'll just see how that's going. Yeah, well, he's the center. Well, I see what they've done. They decided to make him the center of their skit, and that's diverting this 10 or 11 year old's attention from his homesickness. So that works. And the best part is that the boys did it and the adults are not, which is the point. It's all about the boys working on with the boys. So 7-3 for now, and have a good one. This is K2BAR thanking the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of their repeater and wishing everybody a happy day, and we'll see you on Sunday for the Barrow meeting in Washington Township at the Municipal Building. This is K2BAR, W2TTT, off and clear.
This is K2ZO. Anybody around? Trying to make a test.
You're Q5, Jim. I'm back online. How are you?
Okay, Gordon. I'm trying to figure out if this has got any hum on it. I'm powering up the charger for the handy talkie, but not with the wall wart, which gives me hum, but with a battery stealing 12 volts out of my computer backup supply.
I don't hear any hum on your signal. You just want to give me a 5 count?
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
And just key up for 5 and don't say anything except the ID at the end.
Oh.
Do that again.
Okay, here we go. Okay, how's that?
No, you have no hum. You're good.
Okay, what I have is a little Yaesu VX6. And, of course, during the net, my battery went dead. But if I throw the radio in the charger is powered by a wall wart that is not very well regulated, and it's not very well filtered. So when I transmit, I'll get some hum. So what I did is I've got a plug that's the same as the plug that comes from the wall wart, same size, and I took it and I hooked it up to the battery that is for my computer, for my battery backup, the 12-volt battery, and it's working fine. Of course, that one is being continuously charged by the UPS, but it's working. Hey, how about that?
Yeah, well, you sound clean as a whistle, and, you know, running off the wall wart's never a good thing unless you're on ultra-low power.
realize that. But now I'm charging the thing as well as using it, and it seems to be working okay. I don't know what kind of power is coming out of it, but apparently it's enough.
Oh, you sound great. So, oh dear me, I'm gonna see if I can sort out some of this crazy nonsense, and then I can play a little extra radio tonight, a little later, but I don't have to be out of bed till about 7:15, and out of the campsite till 7:30. So, all is a happy place around here. The other mornings we get up at 6 sharp and go to the polar bear swim Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday during camp. So it's a lovely thing, and we do it as a troop. Everybody gets up. There are no exceptions. So, you know, by Friday or Thursday night, we're a little pooped. In past years, I actually would go over to Forestburg and look at their technology center. They actually have a station there, which they operate as part of their ham radio classes and radio merit badges and everything like that. And they have a test session every Thursday night for every week of camp, so it's really kind of neat.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you mentioned that you were at the camp, but I have no idea whereabouts that is.
I'm sorry. It's Cutterbackville, New York. So it's on the Orange Sullivan line. On so it's let's see. If you enter Galligan Road, Cutterbackville, New York, or Forestburg, New York. I forget which one shows up. I think it's Cutterbackville, C-U-D-D-E-B-A-C-K-V-I-L-L-E, or Forestburg, New York. But Galligan Road, you'll see Galligan Road goes up and over one mountain in a ravine. And there's one hill near Beaver Pond, and there's another hill to the west. I'm on top of the hill to the west, away from Beaver Pond, not the one near it. That's inside the camp property.
Oh, okay. Well, you're making the repeater quite well. No problem at all. Well, I'm glad I solved this little problem, because every time I would get on with a dead battery, throwing it in the charger and try to transmit it, I would get some hum. Now, once the battery picked up a bit, then it was okay. But now, since I've got a clean supply, I don't need to worry about it. All right. Well, be good, and we'll probably see you over there at the Hamfest. Do you know if Kathy is going to be there, the gal from Pennsylvania with all the stuff?
I honestly don't know. I noted that she's cut back her schedule a lot. She liked coming to our last December one. She wants to come to the next December one, but she hasn't responded specifically to this one. But I think there's a Hamfest that weekend, or that day even, in Maryland. So that may be more to her liking, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, I think she's cut back a little bit because she's doing a lot more on the Internet. I know I just recently bought some stuff from her, and I saw she had some auctions on eBay there. Said hello to her. So, yeah, I guess it's probably a lot easier. So, there you go. All right, 7-3, catch you later. W2TTT, K2ZO.
Okay, very good, Jim. If you have a link to her eBay stuff, that would be helpful. Just shoot it to me if you would. All right, Godspeed, and I don't know how far we are from the Alpine repeater, but right now it's fluctuating back to 2G, but it normally is a 3G connection up here, which is really kind of cool. But we're 1,400 and change feet in the air. Copper J pole, about maybe 25 feet in the air. And we built a whole pavilion. I'll see if I can send some pictures to my email account and then forward them out to you and other guys who might be interested in what we built here. We have quite an impressive station, actually, for summer camp. When we do radio merit badge, we really do it up neat. And
Since this year I didn't go over to Forestburg and I didn't need the night for to complete my radio merit badge course, because we did all the online demos the other night, tonight was totally free, which is kind of cool. So, got to play radio, and the troop took care of the homesick kid, the boys, and all is well. K2ZO, see you Sunday, K2BAR.
Okay, Sarah 3 Gordon. Catch you later. Sounds like you're having fun up there. W2TTT, K2ZO.
If you knew how much we've built, you'd understand. I'll tell you some more stories about that on Sunday, but by the way, it's NY2CT, NY2 Charlie Tango.
Okay, NY2 Charlie Tango, K2ZO. Very good.
NY2CT, NS2K.
NS2K, NY2CT, hello.
Yeah, you have to wrap your tongue around that a few times before you get it quite right. Anyway, no, Sunday's going to be a very, very long day for some of us. Rachel and I are going to go do the triathlon, and of course we have to be like the first ones in, being net control and various. Anyway, so it's going to be a very, very long day. I'm a little concerned with Steve because he's also there very, very early, expect to do the meeting at the end of the day. He's going to be totally wiped.
Yes, he will. Toastest with the mostest. Yeah, he's going to be in one hurt puppy condition. But hopefully he'll have the prudence to know what to call quits on and the like and not overdo it.
Yeah, I think what he'll do and what I'd like to be able to do is around 12, 1 o'clock when things start to slow down, get some rest. Save up until whatever it is, 7 o'clock, and then start over again. But hopefully he'll actually be able to call his operation quits quite a bit earlier than that, as soon as everybody's in the water.
Yeah, I think that would be a really good idea. But we'll see. We shall see. All right. I'm trying to send some email here, and it's not going. I'm back to 3G connectivity, but for whatever reason, my outbox isn't emptying out. I honestly don't know why. But, you know, could it be that I've got this enormous, I don't know if it's enormous, but I might have a connectivity issue that I have to resolve. We'll see. Oh, well. Anyway, get some rest before the event, you, Rachel, and everybody else involved. You know, I think that's the other idea. You know, maybe don't go out to dinner after the farewell meeting on Friday. Hint, hint.
And then I have a full day on Saturday, too. But, yeah, there's that. Yeah, no, we don't get to shut down until after everybody's in the park, and then it goes into another lower communication mode after that. But a couple of years ago, that seemed like it didn't happen nearly forever because of one particular runner who was unbelievably slow, like an hour after everybody else.
Oh boy, that's just wonderful. Yeah, we have the same nonsense, as you know, on the bike ride. It's ever popular adventure, but we'll see. All right, look, let me just finish my paperwork here and figure out why my mail doesn't work and Mr. Javits needs his Poundo Flash, otherwise I will be killed, or at least dealt with harshly. Hi. So 73K2BAR, NS2K, NY2CT.
As well you should be. Anyway, yeah, how many organizational calls can you keep straight? Now, at some point, I need to beat you up about data problems that I'm having, but that is a subject for another venue. Anyway, you have a great evening, and we'll see you in a few days. Let's see. CTNY2CTN, whatever it is. 2CT, NS2K. Don't mind me. I'm, like, overtired.
Well, November Yankee 2, Camp Terrell. By the way, we also have W2FMR for Floodwood Mountain Reservation. But, alas, I didn't get a chance to activate it, so I'm going to be sending a copy of the license to the couple of guys who are up there and make sure that they activate it this summer. Before they're going to be up there for three more weeks, so I'm pretty excited about that. Anyway, 7-3 and have a good one. NS2K, NY2CT.
Good, I did actually remember correctly, even though I didn't think I did. NY2CT, NS2K, have a great one.
NY2CT from W2MW.
Hey, W2MW, W2TTT, how are you?
Fine, Gordon. I just thought I'd jump in here and say hi. It's been a while since we yanked last. I know you're going to be you're busy. And you need to get some stuff done. I've been kind of reading the mail here. So anyway, just wanted to pop in and say hi. Hope all is well.
I'm at camp. It's well. Yeah, all the crises have been averted, and you know, all of the panic and angst of homesickness on the part of one scout has been addressed. And the good news is, not by me. I guided the boys as to what they needed to go do, and they went and did it, and that's the best of it. We're having a little fun with some new calls. I mean, we have a call sign. Pardon me, for every one of our council's facilities, because we have a club. Because different groups of adults want to, don't want to go to certain other camps. They just have that parochial attitude. So my attitude is fine. Just activate the dang camp. And so each camp has its own support group of ham radio operators, and that's the concept. Are you on your way into work, or what are you doing today?
I'm on my way home. I finished my work for the evening, my second job, that is. So, but I probably got another 10 minutes or so before I pull in. But anyway, I know you're busy, Gordon, I'll let you back to your paperwork. And sounds like you're having a lot of fun. I kind of know where you're located. I've been through Sullivan County, and of course we're adjacent to Orange County, but Orange County goes way out. So, I have a general idea where you're located. So, sounds like a lot of fun. And sounds like you've been there a couple of times and managed to deal with the situations as they arise. So, Gordon, have a good evening, and we'll chat with you again. Maybe with my new radio, which is sitting in the trunk of my car, just anxious to get installed into the vehicle here. So. NY2CT from W2MW.
All right. Yep. Take care.
Only low voltage. I got to fix that.
I wonder why that is, but all right. All right. Enjoy. I got to go take care of this little matter. And while I'm also trying to do paperwork and things like that, it's kind of goofy, but six things at a time. W2MW. Drive safe. W2TTT. And NY2CT.
Thank you.
NS2K from W2TTT.
NS2K.
Yeah, we had a little excitement here after I signed with N2NW. We had a medevac in from camp.
Oh my. I hope not too serious.
We have a suspicion as to what it is, but no facts, so I'm not going to say anything. And, you know, medical privacy, all that happy, all that HIPAA stuff kicks in. So we'll probably find out who, what, where, and how tomorrow. But in the meantime, it was, pretty amazing. But it circulated right over top of us. And when it started to do the second pass, I said, that's not a military helicopter. And I realized at that point that it was circling our athletic field. And yep, it then after two circles, it went another half circle and then dropped right on the field.
Ah, yes. You'll have something, the kids will have something to talk about. Very good. Anyway, hopefully everything is under control and everybody will be just fine.
Yeah, I talked to him about rumor, privacy, all that good stuff, and more importantly, we said a decade of the rosary in order to kill some time and add some prayer to the whole matter for both the person and the medical and other emergency responders, flight crew, all that good stuff. All right, you be well. NS2K, K2, W2, TTT, NY2CT.
Very good, very good. Well, get some rest. NY2CT, NS2K, have a great evening.
Oh, never fear. The boys are so excited and jacked that I have six guys here who want to do radio merit badge, so I got to do all the practicals in the next hour. No problem. W2TTT.
W2TTT listening.